This week, we've seen fires pose a threat to communities in both Victoria and Western Australia. They'll just be a couple of the many fires that we will inevitably see this summer. And if previous bushfire seasons are any guide, it's likely that some of them will be deliberately lit. Now, deliberately lit fires, that's bad enough. What's even more disturbing is when fires are started by someone who's entrusted with the job of putting them out. Yes, firefighters who light fires. The Central Coast region of New South Wales has been grappling with this problem. A few months ago, a former volunteer of the Rural Fire Service was convicted of lighting 15 fires in the area. And just this month, another firefighter, this time with Fire and Rescue New South Wales, charged with 23 arson offences. How common is this? What kind of person joins a firefighting service only to endanger the communities they're supposed to protect? Dr. Troy McEwen is a lecturer in clinical and forensic psychology at Swinburne University of Technology. Troy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jonathan.
How common is this problem?
Well, I suppose it kind of depends on which direction you look at it from. If you look at it from who's been convicted of arson, it does seem to be a bit of a problem. There's some figures from New South Wales about 15 years ago. They looked at who was convicted in three or four year period. They found 50 arsonists were convicted, and 11 of them were firefighters, so that's quite a proportion, right? But then you look at it the other way, and you've got 74,000 RFS volunteers, and over 15 years, only 18 of them are convicted of lighting fires.
Yes.
So, it's a very small number.
And I guess there's a certain amount of logic of someone who's has some attraction to fire joining a firefighting service.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's certainly the very limited amount of research that's been done on this issue and with the people who do this is suggests that they do have a particular interest in fire and fire services and the whole, environment around that, definitely.
Which raises the issue of recruiting and screening, the sort of tools that could be used to eliminate this kind of person. I'm assuming that that's part of the process in most fire services.
It is to a degree, and my understanding is that the fire services here in Australia use criminal history checks as part of their way of screening people to join the fire service. Unfortunately, we know that arson is not under investigated, but certainly the cases aren't closed that often. So a very small number of arson cases that actually end up in a conviction. So it's unusual for someone who's committed an arson to actually be convicted of arson in many cases. So The checking the criminal history is not necessarily always going to be the best way of screening.
Yeah, well, some sort of psychological testing you would think would be the go, or that would could that be developed in a form that could be used by various services?
No, look, what you're talking about is clearly like kind of the holy grail of these things, and it's something that definitely there's lots of interest in. I think part of the reason it's difficult is that we're at such an early stage of knowledge about arson generally, that really understanding kind of firefighter arson is even less developed, and so we don't really know what exact kind of psychological characteristics we're looking for. The other challenge, I mean, I can talk a little bit about what some of those are, what we think they are, but the other challenge is that it's such a low number of people, and it doesn't matter what you're trying to predict. If you've got hardly anyone doing it, it's really hard to predict. So in reality, probably what you're going to do with a screener, if once we get one developed, is identify people who aren't going to light fires and a group who might. And the group who might, then you have to do something else with. But it doesn't mean they're going to light the fire.
And possibly the group who might, psychologically, they might just be people who want to be firefighters too. I mean, there would be a bit of crossover in the traits that would lead you to do either thing.
Definitely. And there's certainly some evidence to suggest that people who become firefighters are what we as psychologists would call sensation seeking. So they're people who like excitement and they're kind of biologically predisposed to seeking out excitement and exciting experiences because it makes them feel good. And so you would expect that people who join firefighting kind of organisations in general are like that. And the people who end up lighting fires who join those organisations also have that characteristic, but perhaps can't deal with the actual reality of firefighting, which is long periods of boredom. and occasional periods of excitement.
That might be
one of the things we're looking at there.
Well, Troy, I guess the reassuring fact is that arrests are made, and we do tend to catch these people, even if the outcome of their behaviour can be catastrophic.
Look, I would love to say that's true. I think that we probably don't catch as many deliberate fire setters as there are out there. I think it's, the police, I've spoken to police about this, it's a very difficult crime to investigate and to prosecute. And there's certainly been moves afoot since 2009 in Australia to improve investigation of bushfire arson in particular, but arson generally.
Troy, thanks for your time.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Dr. Troy McEwen, lecturer in clinical and forensic psychology at Swinburne University of Technology. The deliberate firelighter. I wonder if we will see their works this summer.